You know, I was going to speak on demons, and the reason for it was, you know, we've been really hit pretty hard with all this wonderful ministry, and I wanted to give us a little somebody to blame it on, you know, all our failures. So I thought if I spoke on demons, we could all say, you know, the devil made me do it, so it ain't really my fault. Of course, I'm being facetious, but anyway, I had to change the message. I was just thinking of some of the ministry we've had up to this minute. Hasn't it been wonderful? Every camp, you know, is the best camp, I think, every year. If we improve next year, because I was expecting to be in heaven before next year. But if we're here next year, how could we possibly look for a better camp than we had this year? It's really been wonderful, and I want to say I have really enjoyed it. Now, I was thinking of some of the things that were said. We've got a lot of history, and we're supposed to learn from all of this. Someone made a little quip once. Maybe if we listen to it, history would quit repeating itself. And that ought to be a good lesson for us as Christians. I was thinking in the measure of discipline, I was reminded of a little incident I was told about. In a department store was this little boy really causing a commotion on a rocking horse that was too small for him. And his mother had been over there trying to get him off of it, pleading with him, and he didn't get off of it. And she'd tell him, look, son, you got to get off of this. He wouldn't get off. Finally, the salesman noticed it, and he came over, and he pleaded with the boy, and the boy still played on the rocking horse. And finally, it went from one to another. Finally, the main manager came over, and he stooped down and whispered something in the boy's ear, and the boy just got up and got off the rocking chair, rocking horse. Somebody went to him afterwards and said, what did you whisper to him that got him off of that rocking horse? He said, I just whispered to him that if he didn't get off that horse this minute, I was going to knock the stuffings out of him. down our way, the Baptists have some homes for children. There's about three or four of them. Evidently, they've been nice homes, but they have been in the news lately because they have found a couple of marks on the buttocks of some of the boys. This is cruelty. They're suing them. They're trying to take away their licenses and whatnot. Now, I don't know any of the circumstances, but it doesn't sound like cruelty to me to see a little mark where it's supposed to be on a place that is supposed to have happened. We do need discipline. I was also thinking we're talking about the sovereignty of God, and I was reminded, most of you know Paul Groth. He was up here last year, one of our elders. Paul Groth has a little granddaughter and a grandson, and the grandson is older than the granddaughter. She's about 2.5. She's about 3 now. She said to her mother the other day, and her grandma was telling me this, she said, Mama, why did God make my brother bigger than me? And I told her grandma to tell her mother that right then was the time to start teaching her that we don't complain with what God does. He can do what he wants to. We never should question anything God does. Well, I want to talk this morning about building the house of God. I thought that this would be an appropriate thing for us. Turn to Acts chapter 13. 13 and verse 22. Now, I'm going to go over these kind of fast because I want to cover some ground. And when he had removed him, there you have some of the sovereignty of God, don't you? He set kings up and put them down. He removed Saul. He raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, who shall fulfill all my will. Now, this is one of those places where it has a present fulfillment and a future fulfillment. And of course, he's talking about the Lord Jesus when he says, "Who shall fulfill all my will?" But he's talking about David here, also a man after my own heart present that did some of his will. Why did God say about David, a man after my own heart? Well, the reason is, David wasn't such a wonderful person always, you know. But he had his thinking and his motives in line with God's motives and God's thinking in regard to building a house. God wants to dwell on earth with his people. That's his great desire. That's why he had the tabernacle. And that's why, of course, they had the temple. Now turn also to Acts chapter 7. And look at verse 45, and for brevity, just read the last verse of 45, where it says, David, who found favor before God. Wouldn't that be nice to be said about us, that we found favor before God, and desired to build a tabernacle for the house of Jacob. So Solomon built him a house. Now notice, it's given the history here of Israel. And notice it stops right here and building the house. This is the zenith of Israel's history. The highest point in their whole history is when Solomon built the temple for God. Gave God a house to live in. Alright, turn back to Psalms. Thinking of David, a man after God's own heart. His desires, the things, desiring what God is desiring. Psalm 132, where you have some of David's heart. Verse 3 for brevity. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go into my bed. Think of what he's saying here. I'm going to put something before my own house. I'm going to put something before my own bed. Did you ever think of doing anything just for the Lord? And for what? I will not, he says, give sleep to mine eyes, or slumber to mine eyelids. This involves an awful lot. We're not going to take time to expound this, but you could go on and on with it. He's going to have some sleepless nights. He's going to work long. He's long hours in one thing or another. But what's he interested in? Verse 5. Until I find out a place for the Lord and habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. You know, they hadn't had a house for God to dwell in amongst his people since the tabernacle. And he was thinking of building a house for God. Thinking right in line with God's thinking. He wanted to build what God wanted to build. Verse 7. We will go up into his tabernacle. He's looking for it. We will worship at his footstool. You know, David is a man of worship. If you want to really get close to the Lord, read the Psalms. Verse 13. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. God's desire. Verse 14. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. You know, it's a wonderful thing to get our thinking in line with God's thinking, our motives in line with God's motives, and build what God wants to be built. Now turn back to 1 Chronicles. You know, we learn now that it was God's desire in the Old Testament to build the temple. Now, you know, in the New Testament, we have the house of God. It's not a house built with out of gold and silver like the old temple was and so forth. But it's built out of people. We are the house of God. Doesn't he say in Acts chapter 3, Paul says that he was the wise master builder. What was he building? He was building New Testament churches. He was building local assemblies. He says, for example, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. God wants to dwell amongst his people. And where he's dwelling amongst his people today, he's dwelling in their hearts, for one thing, in the whole universal church. But then he's dwelling in the local assembly gathered together. Christians are gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, I'm not inferring that just because we meet as we do, that we're the only people that God has a presence amongst his people. I think there's a matter of following pattern and principles of God's word. But God wants to dwell in the midst of his people. He promises it. All right, turn to 1 Chronicles, chapter 28. Now, really, I have just listed five things here that is necessary, five musts, if you please, if we're going to build the house of God. And I am thinking especially of a local assembly which God has in his heart that he loves to see built. He wants to be there. He wants to have a place to dwell. So what does it take to build the house of God? Well, first of all, we must have a desire in our heart to do it. David said, I had that desire. I had a desire in my heart. Now, verse 2 of chapter 28. Then David the king stood upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people, as for me, I had in my heart to build an house of rest for the ark. I had this in my heart. I wanted to build a house for God. Chapter 29 and verse 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection upon the house of my God. Where is our affection, beloved? David's whole affection was on the house of God. He wanted the presence of God that he could be in. And that's what we ought to desire, to see the house of God built. Verse 3 again. Moreover, because I have set my affection upon the house of my God, and then he goes on to say what he did for it. But it moved him to do something because he had the desire in his heart. Now, if God told me that he wanted to see assemblies built all over this United States, all over this world, then it seems to me if he wants that built, I ought to somehow get involved in building them, right?
Amen.
And I want to just say, I've been in the Lord for full time. I've been saved for 41 years. And I don't make any distinction between full-time and part-time, brother. And I feel I was just as much full-time when I worked for Swiss & Company as I am now. I was involved. Ever since I got saved, I learned the truth of God, and as nearly 60 years I've been involved in trying to see some assemblies built up for God's glory. Our affection. Listen, if we don't have it in our heart, forget it. That's where it has to start. Now, the second point is in chapter 29 here. I'm going to stay in these two chapters now, so don't worry about it. Chapter 29, verse 2, where he says, now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. What do you see here? This is my second point. Not only must it be in our heart, but now we're going to put some effort into it. We must put effort into building the house of God. What kind of effort are you putting into your local assembly to build it up? Are you out on the street, maybe, giving out a tract to see some soul saved so that they would be brought into the assembly and be a glory to the Lord Jesus so God could come down and dwell in the midst of that assembly and be pleased at the worship that comes from this little group of Christians? Are we involved in it? Are we working at it? We need to put some effort. David said, with all my heart, I prepared for the house of God. Now, in a verse that Eddie read this morning, I'm not going to take time to turn, but 1 Corinthians 3, what does Paul say? We are laborers together with God. Well, don't miss that word, laborers. We're a work a little bit. It might take a little sweat and some work and maybe some doing some jobs that I don't like. Hey, and it might involve not being the boss all the time. You know, some people don't want to work unless they can be the big chief. I have found this, and I like that message of our brother Dan the other day on jealousy of God's workers and so forth. But you know, there are some people that always want to be the top dog, and they don't want to be involved in anything unless they are. Now, it might take taking a second place. And then it might take getting along with other laborers, you know, in a group of workers. Who are we working with? Laborers together with who? With God and the rest of his people, you see. We, he says, and including us. So in order to be laborers, we have to learn to get along with one another. Hey, and it might involve doing something we don't like, or it might involve helping another brother that doesn't work quite as fast as we do. I've had a real problem with that, you know, because my wife and I have been workers, and my wife can do more work in 5 minutes than most people can do all day and get accomplished. And, of course, I look at the rest of the folks and say, what in the world is the matter with them? Why aren't they working? You know? But we have to get along with this when we are laborers together with God and Billy. And then here's one that people don't like. We must have a desire in our hearts. We must put effort into it. We must put our money into it. Nobody wants to do this, you know. Look at chapter 29 and verse 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection upon the house of my God, I have of mine own proper goods of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I prepared for the holy house. He took of his own money over and above all the rest that he'd done, and all the rest that he'd done, he took of his own money and gave it. Now, you know, if we're going to see something done for God in building assemblies, we need to put our money in it. Now, I know this is a touchy subject. But look at verse 6 of that chapter 29. What's it say? Then the heads of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and a hundred with the rulers of the kings work what? Offered willingly. Verse 9, and the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly. With perfect heart, offered willingly. Over in the next chapter, look at verse 17. Offer willingly, and all. They were giving their presents to God. Anyway, let me show you verse 16 of chapter 29. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and it is all thine own. So don't think of giving so much to the Lord. It all belonged to him in first place. You know, we get hung up in this matter of giving and tithing and so forth. I can say with my wife, we've been givers all of our life. We have taught our children to be givers, and it's just we have. Done it willingly. I mean, we want to do something. I don't explain this. Listen to this. What does God say about givers? God loveth what kind of givers? Cheerful givers. You know, that means hilarious. That means crazy. It's just giving crazy. You know, just giving and giving. I say this to people sometimes. Young people, many times are just living from hand to mouth for the reason is they're not giving to the Lord. You know, the Lord's the biggest giver, and he'll give you more if you give to him. Old Brother Gilbert came to our house one time, and we didn't have a stove. My wife was cooking for a whole bunch of people on a little hot plate, and he thought we needed a stove, and went out and bought us a stove. And just that very day, two letters came in the mail, and both of them were checks. See? He said, well, you can't give it away. See, the Lord keeps giving you more. And this is the way it is. The more you give, the more the Lord will give you. Try it sometime. Anybody here tried that? Anybody here tried that? You know, thank you, sister. I'll tell you what, that's precious. I just hate to see people living in such poverty when they could give them. What about David now? He gave and he gave and he gave, and Solomon gave. Didn't I read someplace that he became the richest man that ever lived? Who gave it to him? God did. Why? Because he had his heart in the right place. He had his desire. You know, some people wonder about the request for Solomon. They think that, you know, the first thing that was riches in his mind. Not at all. You know what Solomon asked for first? Over in 2 Chronicles, right across the page there, chapter 1, verse 9. What did he ask for? I got you there. Verse 9, before he mentions the wisdom. Now, Lord, this is Solomon's prayer. Now, Lord, O Lord God, and this is after he said, you know, I'll give you anything you want. Let thy promise unto David, my father, be established. What was the promise to David? That Solomon would build the temple. So that's what he was interested in. And that's why God was so pleased with Solomon, because his heart was there. And that's why he was so pleased with David. Well, you know, to give, it might mean that we have to give up a little something. You know, it might even have to give up cigarettes, you know. I don't know whether you heard about it or not. A tobacco company in New York had a TV program at 10 o'clock in the morning, and they wrote to this fellow in the back hills that they'd heard lived for over 100 years, and he smoked their brand of tobacco. And they wrote him and said, would you come and be on our program on such and such morning at 10 o'clock and give your testimony that you have used our brand of tobacco all these years. He wrote him back a short note, can't do it. Well, they couldn't figure that out, you know, and they wrote him again. He wrote him back, can't do it. So they called him up on the phone and they said, you mean that you wouldn't like a trip to New York and we're going to pay you for this and we're going to give you some rewards and we're going to put you up in the finest place in New York? Oh, he says, I like all of that, all right. But he said, I can't do it. I can't be on your program at 10 o'clock and say anything. Well, what's the matter? Well, he said, I can't stop coughing until 12 o'clock. You know what Haggai said when he came over to, when he came back in Ezra's time, you know, and they were rebuilding the temple and the people got all involved in building their own houses and their own things rather than God's thing. He said, you have sowed and haven't reaped. And then when you did reap and took the money home, you had holes in the sacks and your money fell out along the way. And then any that you did get in at home, he says, I blew on it. That's what we're faced when we don't give anything to God. Real quickly. I must know what I'm building. If I'm going to build the house of God, I must know what I'm building. Chapter 28 and verse 11. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern. I'm not going to take long to say much about this because I think you know what I want to say. There's a pattern. And we need to search the Word and get God's pattern. Where did he get this? The pattern here in verse 11, pattern in verse 12, pattern down to what? Verse 18, pattern in verse 19. Read verse 19. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me. He got it from God, even in writing, even all the works of this pattern. So we better find out what we're building if we're going to build something. We're talking about building on wood, hay, and stubble, eh? It takes just as much effort to build out of wood, hay, and stubble as it does to build out of gold and silver. Build according to the pattern. And then in chapter 28, in verse 20. Where did I find it? And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Now, the fifth point that I had, I don't know whether you got them all. Did you get them all? Must have a desire in our heart. We must put some effort into it. We must put our money into it. We must know what we're building. And this requires some studying. We got to get it according to the pattern. By the way, in that verse that Eddie read, it said Paul said we are co-laborers with God. I was just thinking, you know, better be building the same building. You know, when we first started building it down there, we built the first few houses, you know, the first houses that we built, we had laid a slab down there, we put all the plumbing fixtures and everything in the slab, you know, and then you pour the cement over that and it settles, and then you build the walls around it, you know. Well, we started putting the walls up, you know, and what did we find? We found the bathroom was in the front room. Now, figure that out. That's a little problem. But when we're co-laborers now with God, we better be working on the same building, and we better be building it the way he tells us to build it. Okay? Remember the purposes. Paul said he was the wise master builder. Now, in verse 20, let me look at that again. Verse 20 of our chapter 28. David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage, and what? Do it. Get us a job. Don't worry about whether I'm not quite adequate to this or not. Just get up and do the job, because what? Fear not, nor be dismayed. Now, if anybody here from some small meetings, don't be dismayed in building the house of God. Why? Because God wants to build it too, and he's going to help us. Look at it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. How do you like a statement like that? Don't that make you want to get out and get chewing? Well, just let me leave you with this. What did Paul say? He was interested in building, you know. He says, for as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel so they can see souls saved. Can we say that? As much as in me is? What's another phrase that I like that he says? I am ready not to going up to Jerusalem. He said, I'm not only ready to be bound, but ready to what? To die. I'm ready to die for the Lord. When we started to go to New Orleans, you know, 41 years ago, we went and had a checkup. My wife had a terrible goiter. She had a pressing on her heart. She had hay fever that nearly killed her every night, and asthma. And the doctor said, you'll kill your wife if you go down there. And I said to my wife, honey, I don't want to kill you. You know what she said? I got the best wife in the world, I'll tell you. 50 years, and I've never had a fight with her yet. She don't fight. But you know what she said? She said, I'd rather die doing what God wanted me to do than to live and do just what I wanted to do. And she went down to New Orleans, and the goiter disappeared. She's never been in the hospital since, except to have the baby. I tell you what, it's terrific. It's really wonderful. What else did he say? I will gladly spend and be spent. Well, that shocks me that I'm going to take a little out of it. You know, that's the trouble with it. We're worried about having something taken out of us. What are we really worried about? Our own self, our own welfare. Base everything down, I'll tell you what. We think pretty much of ourselves. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to think something of yourself because we are something, but we can bring that to the other extreme, you know. Not Paul. He said, I'm willing to die, I'm willing to go to the utter end. For what? To build the house of God. Brethren, can we get, and sisters, it takes sisters too, you know. Did you know sisters are pretty good builders? I tell you what, we went out in the woods and sawed down the trees, you know, for our first chapel and for our house. And my wife's right along there helping us, you know. She's providing all the food and whatnot, and all the know-how how to do it. Are we interested in building? What are we building? Please come close and pray.